Hers is better than yours. Well, it is a delight to be back in Caribou. My, oh, my. I was thinking earlier as I walked downstairs, I have so many memories here. I've been around a long, 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 long time. I do remember a fellowship meeting here one time. Something happened here that I don't remember happening anywhere else, Brother Mike. We had sushi at a fellowship meeting in this church. Now, you might not have been here at that time, and maybe you don't like sushi, but anyway, it was
interesting.
It was raw fish. I do want to express my apology in that my wife is not with me. I seldom go anywhere without her these days. But I was talking to Brother and Sister Shorey earlier, and there is a mathematical equation that begins when you first say, "I do." At that moment, husband and wife, whether you think so or not, are on a level playing field. Remember this, gentlemen. And then for every successive child, husband drops down a rung. And then when those children bring home that special someone and they tie the knot, the husband drops down again. And then when those precious children reproduce and grandbabies come along, the husband, for every successive grandchild, goes down another rung. We now have 10 grandbabies and 2 daughter-in-laws, and I am down on rung 14. My wife spent some time with 6 of our grandbabies, and she's on her way home right now. So just pray that the Lord would bless her while she's traveling. It means several things. One of the things it means is this: I have to do some driving. I hate to drive. I do not like driving. However, if I'm going to get anywhere, I have to drive if my wife is not around. You say, "Well, shouldn't a man do all the driving?" Mm-hmm. Here's my philosophy. If you're going to drive from every seat in the vehicle, you might as well sit under the steering wheel. Somebody said, "You're a brave man."
It's because she's not here.
She's not here.
That's right, because she's not here.
Although she'll probably hear.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell.
Actually, the truth of the matter is, and I do try to, every once in a while as a preacher, I do try to tell the truth. the fact is that my wife is a little bit subject to motion sickness, and she needs to drive. I could hang upside down in the back of a tractor trailer truck on a swinging chair and read the newspaper and not be sick. She can't hardly look out the window, but what it upsets her stomach, unless she's driving. So anyhow, that is the real story. The other thing that happens when my wife is not with me, if I am asked or going to sing, without my wife, I'm forced to rely on some other folks. And thank God for church musicians. Thank God you have some great musicians in this church. And we're going to try that old hymn first, The Comforter.
Okay.
Now, I tried to explain this to the ladies. I grew up in Pentecostal church. As a matter of fact, I started going to Pentecostal church before I was born. And I guess the right way to say it is this: you can't imagine anything that I haven't seen happen in church. As a matter of fact, some stuff is just a marvel, isn't it? Just a marvel. And it's so good to see the Sullivans here this morning. You know, the Lord's been good to us. The Lord's blessed us. And the ministry is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank God. Thank God. Well, we're going to give her a try. I'm going to be singing about the Holy Ghost.
That seems really high.
Some of you would remember Pastor Libby. Anybody remember really Pastor high. Ronnie E. Libby? One day, that man had the nerve to look into my face and say these words: if I had one hair on my head that was not Pentecostal, I would pull it out. I immediately responded and said to him, Pastor Libby, talk is cheap. Look at that head of hair you got. One hair to you is nothing. But for a guy like me, a hair is a serious sacrifice. Let's give her a try, ladies. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. Oh, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Now, earlier we had some ministry in the Spirit. Just keep playing along, ladies. And the Holy Spirit tried to say something to you. These ladies and the folks involved didn't know, but the Lord did, that this verse I'm about to sing talks about people who are bound, people who are held captive, but something takes place. That verse goes like this: Lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells. The song of freedom swells, the comforter has come. Oh, the comforter has come, the comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. Now this last verse, it's really our testimony, Mike, Andy, and millions like us. Probably some of you here this morning. This last verse tells our story. Oh, I know it's an old hymn. They don't sing it a lot in a lot of places anymore. My hallelujah. How shall this tongue of mine, oh, matchless grace divine, to wandering mortals tell that matchless grace divine? Here we are. That I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. Oh, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Thank God. Thank God. This morning, as the Lord was ministering around these altars, you heard something very powerful. And that is this: he's got it all, but we have to receive it. Mm-hmm. He's got it all, mm-hmm, but we have to receive it. Now, could you stand a little confession?
Sure.
Thanks. Man alive, I thought everybody's going to faint. Oh no, what's he going to say now? I have to tell you that this is actually Mike's fault. Isn't it nice to be able to blame somebody else? Don't you go through life trying to blame somebody else? Yes, I spilled milk in the refrigerator one time. My wife was visiting grandbabies, and I thought, how can I make this their fault? He said, would you sing? So I'm going to try another song before we preach. That'd be all right? This is another older one. However, it's a little bit different now. I mess up timings and tempos. You're doing great, girls. You're doing great. I have to tell you that when I was a little kid at the Pentecostal Lighthouse Church in Paterson, New Jersey, the choir director came to the pastor and said these words: if that Dreyer boy comes back to practice one more time, I quit. It had nothing to do with music. No, it didn't. It had something to do with my social behavior. Let's give this one a try. They were in an upper They were all with one accord. You're going to have to help me in a minute. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by, you know this chorus, right? Our Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Yes, this old time power. I don't mind new stuff. But I discovered the other day that I'm not new anymore. Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were true. And it's promised, thank God for the promise. It's promised to believers. Now hear this, that we send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Why don't you stand and sing it with me? Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone. Now, Father, we can't get along for 3 seconds without your presence. Lord, sometimes it makes us shout. Sometimes it makes us be silent. Sometimes it makes us dance, and sometimes it makes us fall on the floor and lie prostrate. Sometimes, Lord, we laugh, and sometimes we weep. But, Lord, we cannot get by without the presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your presence here today. One more time, Lord, we pray for every preacher of the gospel and every place where the gospel is preached. In this hour, Lord, we need a harvest of souls. Time is running out. And Lord, we ask for a harvest in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, bless our hearts to hear your already anointed word. Help this preacher, Lord, to preach today like it was the last time I was ever going to preach. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Let me ask you a question. Thanks, ladies. That was wonderful. We should go on the road. The roads would be in better shape than they are now. Anyway, do you ever get weary of people criticizing the church? You know, I get tired of that. Yes, I do. I get tired of that. As a matter of fact, I have the privilege, and some of you are aware of it, I work with young people all the time. I learned something. If you want to feel young, hang around young people. If you want to feel old, try to keep up with them. However, I've had a bit of an education in YouTube and the internet and all that stuff. And at Faith Bible College, almost everything is online and digital these days. Don't let that scare you. Whew. But if you go online, you can listen to person after person tearing the church apart. Just ripping up the church. I will grant you this, every religious building is not the church. And I will tell you another thing, you need to be careful how you treat the church. Yes, you do. You need to be careful how you treat the church. It's not my sermon, this is free. It's part of the introduction. You know, the church is the body of Christ, it's the building of Christ, and it's the bride of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If you assault the building of Christ, it'll be worse than leveling an attack against an embassy of the United States of America. If you assault the body of Christ, he probably is not going to like that very much. And I will tell you this. You attack the bride of Christ? Let me help you with that a little bit. I'm an old dog, but I'm a big one. And if you attack my wife, all you have to do to win is last for 3 or 4 minutes. But I don't think you'll last because I'm an old dog. Attack my wife. Attack my bride of 46 years and just see how that goes. My feeling is when people attack the church, they're attacking the building, the body, and the bride of Christ. And I weary with people who can do nothing but point out what's wrong. Now, we haven't reached perfection yet, have we? Now, if you're here and you think you're perfect, let me just help you with that. You're not. If you were, there'd be a hole in the ceiling where you'd have burned your way on through, on your way up. Until that happens, we've all got this, that, and the other thing, problems here, there, and around. But I will tell you this, thank God, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So with your permission for just a few moments this morning, while it's still morning, I want to read to you 3 passages of Scripture. One from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Now, I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then I'm going to read it out of another translation. Don't let that bother you. The King James itself is a translation. Maybe nobody ever told you, but the KJV is not what the Apostle Paul read or what Jesus quoted. In the King James, 1 Corinthians 14, 12, reads like this, even so ye, that ye is us, for as much as ye, that's us, are zealous of spiritual gifts. I'm going to tell you what that means. That means if you're hungry for spiritual gifts, this applies to you. Seek that which may excel to the edifying of the church. Let me read you that same passage of scripture out of the New Living Translation. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have special abilities that the Spirit gives, seek those spiritual gifts that will strengthen the whole church. Wow. Spiritual gifts that will edify and strengthen the whole church. As a matter of fact, in the King James, it uses that word excel. Somebody who goes above and beyond. Somebody who goes further than the normal. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have a burden on my heart, Pastor, Brother Sullivan. You got called pastor so many times, it's probably burned right. Yeah, I understand. I know how that works. I'm going to tell you, I have an urge, a drive to excel, not in athletic events and not in academic events. I want to excel in strengthening the church. I want to go above and beyond in lifting up the church in this time. You are probably aware that the adversary doesn't like the church. You may also be aware that we just came through a time where the church went through some pretty rough days. COVID was a bad thing. It was tough. It was tough. You know, I have preacher friends who lost a considerable percentage of their congregation, and they've not come back. I'm glad to see you in church this morning. Thank God. I'm glad you're here. The adversary would do his very best to shut these doors. Yes, he would. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I want to be among the people who work hard, who excel, who go above and beyond to strengthen and encourage the church. That's what I want to do. I started preaching when I was very young. I was saved, more or less, very young. We Pentecostal folks, we believe in backsliding, and we practice it to prove it. So I got saved a lot of times. Maybe you didn't, but I did. I got saved a lot of times. Anytime a preacher would come to the Lighthouse Church and preach hell hot, I would run to the altar. I didn't want to go to hell. Anytime a preacher would come and preach heaven beautiful, I would run to the altar. I didn't want to miss heaven. I got saved a lot of times. Somebody said, oh, that's such bad theology. Don't you know better than that? All I can tell you is my dear saintly mother and dad said to me, every time you get convicted, you run to that altar. It doesn't matter what the preacher thinks. It doesn't matter what the Sunday school teacher thinks. It doesn't matter what the board thinks. It doesn't matter what your friends sitting around you think. If the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you get convicted, you get to that altar. So I went to the altar a lot of times. Now, maybe you're better than me. I'm sure you must be. I definitely needed it. I actually, the Wesleyans have an issue. They call it a second definite work of grace. I'm way past that. I had a second definite work of grace And then I had a third definite work of grace. And then I had a fourth and a fifth. And I've had a truckload of definite works of grace in my life. When I didn't deserve it, but God extended grace to me. Thank God. Now, maybe when you got saved, you were instantly catapulted into sinless perfection. I highly doubt it, but maybe you think so. But I will tell you this, with all of our faults and all of our flaws, if you'll just hang with me for a few seconds, Ephesians chapter 5, that he, that is Jesus, might present it, that is the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, you know as well as I do, especially if you grew up Pentecost, you read a passage of scripture about holiness, and you know we can blast people. You gotta be holy. Fact of the matter is, you can't be holy. He's either gonna make you holy or you're not gonna be holy. Because by the works of your effort, you're never going to get holy enough. However, he is still working on me. Aren't you glad? Yeah, he's still working on you too. Thank God. Thank God in heaven. Oh, yes. Say, oh, no, I've already arrived. Sorry, you're a liar. We're going to have an altar call here in a few minutes. If you think you have already arrived, you're either deceived or lying. But I got to tell you something. Thank God the door is always open. Thank God. Can I have to go gently here because of the way things happen in life. Yesterday, I got a message from a young man who, because of a set of circumstances, fell out of good relationship with his father, natural father. And he was very distraught, so much so that this young man from halfway across the country wanted me to see what his father had said to him. And at the end of it all, his father said, "You gotta know we love you, and you can always come home." I said to that young man, "Pay attention to the last thing Dad said. He might not be happy with this and he might not be happy with that, but you can come home. And I recommend you get a hold of your dad and you get this worked out because you love your dad and your dad loves you. And thank God you can come home." Aren't you glad this is a place where people can come home? Aren't you glad this is an altar where people can come home? Thank God. So, quickly this morning, I have a great privilege now that I'm not pastoring anymore. I pastored for a long time. I pastored one church for 24 years, pastored another church for 10 years, and then for 10 consecutive years I served as the campus pastor at Faith Bible College, and I'm telling you, I don't know how your math is, but that's a long time to operate in the realm of a pastor. Now, I'm teaching, and week after week, I sit with and or both address a body of people with access to more power than any Congress, Parliament, or Senate. I speak to a group with more influence than any army or gathering of lawmakers or lawbreakers known to our time. It's my privilege to address a group of greater prestige than any gathering of dignitaries, nobles, kings, or queens. And it is you. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What authority, what power, what access we have to the throne room of God Almighty, and that we can come boldly into the throne room and find grace to help in the time of need. You may not realize just how powerful you are. You know, I understand we elect officials and they're supposed to work for us. Somehow something got lost in the translation there. I don't know what, but something. But I can tell you something. When a Christian kneels before the throne of God, they have access to more power, access to more authority than any government official ever will. That's you. That's you. So, well, what can I do? Well, I want to tell you quickly. I'm going to try to hurry. That's a big clock you got back there. That clock must be on Canadian time. I am going to preach. Don't get excited. I just want to help you a little bit. Yes, I do preach out of the Bible. There are more Bibles in this little thing than you could possibly tote to church. You'd need a wheelbarrow. Those are my notes right there. You'll probably read them from where you're at. Right up here in the itty bitty teeny tiny corner. That's the clock I'm looking at. However, I understand a message need not be eternal to be divine. It's better to quit when everybody wants you to keep going. Than to keep going until everybody wants you to quit. The spirit can't absorb more than the seat can endure. So I'm going to try to hurry. But I want to tell you what's right with this church. Okay? Yeah. First of all, you got the right foundation. Aren't you glad? The book of Ephesians says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Thank God for the right foundation. You're on the right foundation. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us quite a tale about two men who built houses. One was on the rock and one was on the sand. I'm telling you, storms can come, winds can blow, rain can fall, but if you're on the right foundation, you're going to be okay. And the church is built on the right foundation, Jesus Christ. You even got the right leader. I'm not talking about Pastor Hood. I love Brotherhood. I love Sisterhood. I've known them for many, many, many more years than either of us care to think about. This week I had the privilege of bumping into, you may not know this, but this week I had the privilege of bumping into two of Brotherhood's former students. One of them who pastors a very large, beautiful, exciting, progressive church just outside of New York City. And that guy has got the goods. He went from faith to another college, to another college, to another college. He earned a lot of degrees, but he never lost the touch of God in his life. And he told me what a great influence your pastor had on him. Another guy that I met this week, who your leader, your pastor, had a tremendous influence in, is a man who attended Faith School of Theology back there in the day. He said he didn't think he was hardly saved when he got there. Listening to his story, I might agree with him. He went on and went on and went on. He became a chaplain in the United States military, a feat not easily accomplished by itself. And he went on from there and continued to serve in the U.S. military, has got a chest full of service medals, and has attained the office of a, I'm going to use a military phrase, those of you who understand might understand what I'm about to say, but Brad Bauman has attained the rank of a full bird colonel. And the guy can preach the gospel. And it's because your pastor had an influence in a young man's life. The church has the right leader, but I'm not talking about Brother Hood, am I? Oh, I know, I love Brother Hood. But I'm going to tell you, he understands who the head of the body is. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that your pastor and I have shared together repeatedly. Thank God he's got everything under control. Thank God he's the head of the church. And all we got to do is follow him. Thank God. So the church has the right leader. The church has the right message. Can I tell you, the church has the right goal. What is your goal in life? You reach a certain age in life, and I so enjoyed these young folks. Wasn't this little rascal on the corner here front fun? Who does he belong to? He belongs to you? If he ever sings in the choir director is going to come to the pastor and say, if that boy comes back to practice one more time, I quit. I could feel a real kindred spirit. Yes, I could. I'm sorry. If that bothers you, too bad. I'm behaved now. You should have seen me then. Whoa. But I got to tell you, we've got the right goal. Yes, we do. Our goal is not numbers, and our goal is really not people. However, our goal is to get to heaven and take them with us. As a matter of fact, that was part of what the ministry in the Spirit was about today, that we need to be willing and able to take them with us, because we're going in the right direction. Anybody ever tell you the world's messed up today? Anybody ever tell you there's a mess out there? Anybody ever tell you it's hardly safe to go to Walmart anymore? Can I tell you, the church has got the right goal. Yes, it has. The right goal is getting to heaven and taking people with us. Actually, let me hurry on. Although we don't have time to delve into it, in the Old Testament, there's a great book. God is not mentioned once in the book of Esther. Esther was a queen. Her uncle, Mordecai, had a message for her. When the people of God were in serious trouble, when there was great persecution on the horizon, Mordecai said to his niece Esther, "Who knows, but thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm going to tell you, this is the right time. This is the right time." You say, "Well, I don't like what's going on." Neither do I, but we're in it. We're here, and this is the right time. Now, more than ever, the world needs the church to be the church. Now, more than ever, this is the right time. And this, oh, I'm not speaking metaphysically, this is the right location. Now, I don't know. Maybe you're wanting to build. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't talked that much to your pastor. But I ought to tell you something. The location is more than just a physical spot. You're in Caribou for such a time as this. This is the time, and this is the place. Oh, yes, it is. Because as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got the right message and the right goal. We're aiming at the right thing. And this church is here now for the right thing, for the right time. You say, well, I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're still here, it's because this is where you belong. Quickly, the last thing that I want to tell you that's right with this church, some of you I know better than others. Some of you, I've known you for a long time. Some of you, not so much. Not so much. But I'm going to tell you that the Caribou Assembly of God, one of the things that's right about this church is you got the right people. You are the right people. Do you know what I want to excel at? I want to excel at encouraging you to be who you are in the kingdom of God, to let the Holy Spirit move you and minister through you and operate in your life. I'm going to tell you this morning that we need people who know how to flow in the Holy Ghost. We have a world that doesn't know anything about it. We've even got, God help us, preachers who are scared to death that something might happen that they don't have control over. Let me tell you, you're the right people. I watched. Sorry. I was watching. Don't you hate people to come to church watching? Why do you think God gave you two eyes, two ears, and only one mouth? I love to watch churches when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. You see, the Lord knew before I got here, these were the thoughts I was going to share with you. It's right there. Now, I have to tell you that should I be so inclined and so led, not only are there many, many, many Bibles in that thing, there are a lot of sermons in there. However, when I knew I was coming, I felt the Holy Spirit tug my heart. Say, talk to these people about what's right with this church. Now, I don't know for sure because I guess I don't know everything, and the more I learn, the more I know I don't know. But I did learn this. If you look for people who are going to be negative and complaining and critical, you can find them. They're out there. But if you look for people who want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the operation of the Holy Ghost, this is the good place. This is the place. This is the place. The right people are here now. You say, well, I've never been used in the Spirit. Well, it's available. Thank God. I hate to say it like this because it sounds like somebody else might have preached this message already. But don't be afraid. Let God move you. If you've never operated in the gifts of the Spirit, desire spiritual gifts to the edification of the whole church. I knew I was on the right track when I came in this morning and heard the Sunday school teacher talking about the whole church, not just part of the church, but the whole church. Thank God the whole church is what it's going to take. And we have an obligation in our day and in our time. We have an obligation to have the right foundation, the right leader, the right message, the right goal, the right time. One man said it like this: the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of that opportunity. Don't wait. Don't wait. You have family and friends and loved ones who need the Lord. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get them into the house of God. I know we're living in peculiar days. You know, I never knew if I was allowed to stay home from church. Said, did your parents force you to go to church? I don't know. I never had courage enough to ask not to. Yeah, yeah. I can tell you this, they never did send me. They brought me. They never did send me. They brought me. Yes, they did. And my parents were those kind of committed, crazy Pentecostal people. They went to church twice on Sunday, then they went to church Bible study on Wednesday, and then they went back out to prayer meeting on Friday night. Yeah. Can I tell you? The world needs us right now. Right now. More than ever before. You say, well, preacher, are you trying to tell us we should force our kids to come to church? Well, you know, there's you got to be careful there. But I can tell you this much. I kind of was forced. And obviously, it turned me into an axe murderer. So, what I'm saying to you is, get your neighbors, get your friends, get them in the house of God. Let them feel, see, and even taste the Holy Ghost. Wow. More can be done in 5 seconds in the Holy Spirit moving in a church. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize. Well, brother, that's not me. I'm not like that. Oh, sure you are. You just don't want to admit it. Somebody said, well, I'm not very emotional. If somebody put a brick through your windshield of your car, you'd get emotional. But I'm going to tell you, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. I'm praying that there will be such a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit that nothing we have seen so far. How many of you can remember? Anybody here this morning? You can remember when the Holy Ghost was poured out in a mighty way? Oh, yeah. Could we have more of that? Would that be okay if we would just say, Lord, bring it on? We're in the right place. We're at the right time. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You're still here. You're here for a reason. Who knows, but you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, I don't do everything. I heard Brother Mike say that some things were not his cup of tea. Some things aren't mine either. But I'm going to tell you this much. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to be whatever I need to be. Jesus is coming back. I'm so fed up. Now, I just want to encourage you. I'm so fed up with the critics that if you get sucked into that stuff, unplug your computer. You get listening to that stuff and they just run down everybody and everything and nobody's doing it right but them, unplug it. Thank God for the people who are doing it like it ought to be done. Are we perfect? Somebody once said to me, If ever you find the perfect church, please do not ask to become the pastor, because surely you would ruin it. Is the church perfect? No. But do we have some stuff going for us? Oh, yes, we do. And I'm going to tell you, she's a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. So this morning, I want to finish by saying this. Please go a little further than you've ever gone before. No, we're not going to take up another offering. I've heard those guys too. Please do a little more than you've ever done before. No, we're not talking money, unless, of course, you're convicted. If that's the case, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Boy, I wanted. Did the Lord ever tell you to give something? Anybody here in the house this morning, the Lord spoke to you and said, give a specific amount. Is there anybody else like that here this morning? Yeah, a few of us. Yeah. Let me say this. I want to be careful now. I don't want to insult or embarrass anybody. Did the Lord ever tell you to give a specific amount and you didn't do it? First, let me tell you, he did tell you to give a specific amount, and you should do it. Amen. However, I'm not talking money. I'm saying, help us, Lord. Pray more than we ever prayed before. Do more than we've ever done before. Allow the Holy Spirit to access into our lives than ever before. If you've never laid hands on somebody who's sick and prayed that God would heal them, do it today. Do it today. Do it today. Do it today. Well, what if they're not healed? You obeyed. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. I prayed for a guy one time. He was blind. Roger. I sat right at his kitchen table, and this is what I said to him. Brother, I'm going to pray that God will heal you. He said, I wish you would. I said, I'm going to tell you something else. I know a lot of people have prayed for you, but that's not going to stop me from praying again. I'm going to pray again. And I did say this. You might think it was a little bit excessive. I did say, brother, if God doesn't heal you, it won't be because I didn't ask. Please obey the Holy Spirit. If you get a tug in your heart to witness to somebody, that's not pepperoni pizza from last night. That's the Holy Spirit trying to teach you and reach somebody. So I'm going to ask you this morning for just a few moments. Hope it's not morning anymore. Please bow your heads with me. I want to encourage you, first of all, keep at it. Keep at it. Say, well, I'm tired. Well, keep at it anyway. Well, it seems like it's a little bit futile. Keep at it anyway. Well, keep at it. Secondly, I want to encourage you, if you've never yielded to the Spirit of God before, start today. Start today. It doesn't have to be in a service. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be in public eye. But just obey the Spirit. I also need to say this to you this morning. If you've never felt the Holy Spirit prompting you, moving you to do or say or step out in some way, how about this? How about you obey the Word of God and seek those spiritual gifts that will strengthen the whole church? Now, it's not enough for me to just get to this point and quit. First, surely you understand, I need to ask this question. If you're here this morning, and I know it's Sunday morning, but you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I need to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've never truly been born again, I don't care how religious you are, sitting in a church won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in McDonald's will make you a Big Mac. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, I need to give you an opportunity this morning. Because you're not going to face eternity without this preacher giving you that opportunity. If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, you slip your hand up, there are no less than 20 people in this church would be glad to pray with you. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. We have to do it this way, folks. Because you never know the Sunday when it's going to be your family or your friend, your loved one, who comes in and needs that invitation. But I need to take one more step. You see, at this point in my life, I want to encourage and strengthen the whole body of Christ. But it takes somebody willing. It takes somebody willing. I don't know what you have done in the past. Some of you I do, but I mean, for the most part, I don't know. But if you're here this morning and for all you've ever done, in your heart of hearts, you're willing to say, Lord, at the next opportunity, I'll just do a little more, a little more, a little more. If you're like that this morning, if you're here like that this morning, could I invite you just to stand up where you're at? Just stand right up. Say, well, I've done this and I've done that. Great, great. I'm just saying, would you like to do just a little more? Just stand right up, right where you're at. That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. We're serving to enlist. Oh, man alive. Thank God. Thank God for a church with people who want to do just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. One more moment. We might just wait for a second. Father, you see every heart here this morning. You know us, Lord, even better than we know ourselves. You know, Lord, what we have done and where we have been and how we have either succeeded or failed one way or another. But Lord, myself included, and every believer standing on their feet in this house today is saying, Lord, give me one more opportunity and I'll go further, do more than I've done before. Lord, one more time, allow your spirit to rest on me. I will go further than I have ever gone before. Thank you, Lord, for the commitment of those who are standing on their feet now. And I pray, Lord, that you would open opportunities, open doors, whether it's at Walmart or at some other store or some other restaurant, maybe in their own living room, maybe in their next door neighbor's house. Open the door, Lord, and give us the courage and the strength to take one further step than we ever have before. Today, Lord, I pray for wayward children and grandchildren. Lord, I ask that you would speak to them. I pray, Lord, that you would use the faithfulness of men and women in this house now to speak to those wayward loved ones. Help them, Lord, to be convicted, not condemned, but convicted by your Spirit, and drawn to a closer walk with you. Bless, Lord, Pastor Mike and Ruth. Bless their family. Bless them, Lord, while they are getting some rest. I pray, Lord, you'd help them rest. Lord, bless them and their work. They're in the right place at the right time. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for your patience and your attention today. The next time I come back, Lord willing, I'll bring the pretty one with me.
There's no